Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole-body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, hanging out at Hooters Mall of Georgia. Glad that you're here listening to Atlanta's number one sports station, its number one sports show, guys. Falcons training camp continued today, and Mike, we had some things that we saw, some things that we thought were very good. You're also going to get a chance to hear from Michael Penix here in just a little bit, but let's fill in the blanks real quick about what went down today. And the cool thing is, guys, look, we'd love to tell you this is for sure. This is for sure. We know this is going to happen. Right now, we can't tell you that on a lot of things.
Right.
We're 7 days in. I'd love to tell you what the rotation is going to be now with the Jalen Walker injury, and that's something that's still hitting this team, and they're trying to figure out what they want to do. We'll see if Ian Cunningham in the front office decide to go out and potentially grab somebody. I put a nice poll out earlier today saying, do any of these guys, you know, do you want any of these guys? And they're name brands.
Right.
But I don't know if any of them fit what we're looking for, Mike. So maybe the answer is in-house, but that's really where the focus was today is a lot of people were still reeling off the Jalen Walker injury
yeah,
yesterday.
Man, it really was a shock to the system. As we said yesterday, everybody was just kind of left, you know, just kind of searching, reaching for answers on how we're going to, you know, put things together, especially if James Pierce Jr. gets suspended. And we're still, again, no answer for guys that we're going to ask us. We have no idea. And what we're hearing is the Falcons don't apparently either. You buy that?
No, I don't. I don't. I think, look, I'm not going to tell you they know, but I do think they have some idea.
I can't imagine they'd be in the dark on this that completely. And the NFL, as we say, they have their own timetable, and it's just it's going to be a real drag to try to find 16 sacks. And Leonard Floyd had, what, five? So that's 21 sacks off the roster right off the top of our head. But one thing today, just for guys who missed it earlier, how impressed were you with Stefanski? We talked about leadership. This is not a knock on any previous coach. You can take it for what it's worth.
Yeah, it is what it is.
But everyone's doing their individual work. There's about 30 minutes left in practice. Stefanski brings everybody in, right?
Yes.
We can't hear what he's saying. And then they get after it. They go 11-on-11, full contact. And, I mean, hey, guys, probably saying we got to get our heads right. Let's have a strong practice. Let's keep it safe. But you can't let what happened yesterday affect how we do our jobs. And that's what it looked like to me. And they went out there. And that was one of the most physical practices we've been able to see the last 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, look, I think that it was important when a guy gets hurt of that stature that you're not timid, that everybody's going full speed, and that, hey, we know injuries happen, but that we can't let up because, you know, practice was canceled yesterday after Jalen goes down. So I think you got reestablished today.
Right.
Right? You get reestablished. This is a physical game. We can't forget that. All this, stay up, and everybody, right. Nobody's going to the ground.
Well, people went to the ground today.
It's fine, yeah. But this is still a physical game. So, yeah, I dug it, and I thought that they did a really good job today. I thought they got a good work in. As far as the quarterbacks, guys, there again, no edge, but Mike and I had a chance to catch up with Michael Penix. We want you to hear what he had to tell us because, you know, part of this is the physical aspect. The other part is mental. And Mike and I will discuss this once you get done hearing this in just a second. But I think right now, and Mike, I don't know what his confidence level is. I don't know if that is partly due to the fact that he doesn't know what the dates are going to be for him to be back completely.
Right.
So maybe there's a little bit of the confidence level lacking there.
We're trying to pull it out of him today, but you'll hear it.
All right. It's Dukes and Bell. We're live at Hooters. This is Mike and I catching up with Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah, man, I feel really good, you know, but at the same time, it's things that, you know, the doctor know more than me, you know, so it's like sometimes you got to, you know, step back and be like, okay, I don't know as much as the doctor, so I'm going to trust that, and I'm going to just go out there and do whatever I can to make sure I get to the point where he says that I am 100%.
You've been so positive, Mike, and so forthcoming. You know, we all kind of went like, whoa, when you said it might be another couple of weeks before you're ready. As Carl said, you look great. We saw you sprinting out there. What more do you need to get before they'll let you do what you need to do?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing right now is, like, I just got to make sure I'm non-contact. So I don't even want to be in a spot where you're risking, you know, somebody falling into you. So that's why I'm kind of staying away from the 11-on-11 stuff. If I knew 100% sure that I wouldn't get touched, nobody would, you know, accidentally fall. You know, it happens. You know, it's football. You know, you're going to fall. It's not always going to be perfect. So I just want to get to that point where, okay, if that scenario did happen, I know that I'm in a good spot and I know that I'm okay. So.
Michael Penix Jr. with us here on Dukes and Bell. I'm curious to know how difficult this rehab has been compared to your previous rehabs. First knee, all right, bro, I'll get back. Second one, okay, I know what this is about. Now this time around, how difficult has this one been compared to the others?
I wouldn't say it's as difficult. I think my second time was the most difficult. I feel like the first time was tough because I've never been injured before, so, like, mentally it was kind of tough. But the second time, I was kind of down on myself. But, you know, getting through the second time, I feel like it gave me confidence in knowing that, you know, I can get through anything. So whenever this time did come around, I'm like, okay, I've been here before. You know, it's just another bump in the road. But, you know, I know that I can come out on top. And so that's, for me, I'm just, like, just trusting in the process, trusting in my faith each and every day, and just going out there to be the best person I can be for this team, so.
It's Michael Penix Jr. with us on Dukes and Bell. I don't know how much you've heard, but the audience, man, every time we mention you and the competition, it's like, Penix is my quarterback. Do you feel the love? So many people pulling for you.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. It's a beautiful city. It's an awesome city to be able to play in. The fans have been amazing, you know. But, you know, for them, I just say I'm working on getting back on the field first. And once I'm out there on the field, you know, the plays will come. So I'm excited for this season. I'm excited for this team. And I look forward to, you know, winning football games.
Let's talk about some fun, man. You got married. You got married. How's married life, man? And what's the change been for you going from, you know, dating, obviously, and people say it doesn't change. It does. But what's been the change for you since the wedding?
Obviously, the title is that's the biggest change. You know, just getting used to being calling my wife. And but it's been amazing, you know. But as far as change, it's not too much change, you know. But obviously, you know, not like we become one. So, you know, just becoming one with another person, your soulmate, your life partner, you know, I feel like there's something special about that and something that, you know, you don't take for granted.
So everybody saw you dancing at the wedding. And everybody lost their mind because they were like, he's healthy. Look at him. He's dancing. Yeah. But you were just having a good time, man. And I think some people took that as to you were going to be ready for the season. So that's why I think a lot of people were surprised. But you're just having a good time.
Right. I'm just having a good time, man. That's a once in a lifetime thing. You know, Lord's willing, and you know, I just wanted to be able to have fun, you know, let loose. You know, I was still being smart about it as well. I wasn't dropping to the floor or nothing, you know. But yeah, I could still get boogie, but and still being safe at the same time.
King of the dance floor, Michael Penix Jr. with us here on Dukes and Bell. You know, the first year, you know, you had to watch for the most part Kirk, and then last year you get in there. I was at Berlin. I saw you come off the side like, hey man, give me the play, get the play in. Do you feel with this coaching staff, there's going to be you'll be better prepared and be, once you're on the field, and they'll have your back? I felt sometimes it wasn't the way it needed to be last season.
Yeah, I mean, you can't pinpoint one thing that it was last season on, you know, why things were a certain way, you know. But I am confident in this coaching staff. I'm confident in what they're doing to help us prepare each and every day, so that whenever we do step on the field, we know exactly what's going on. So I'm super excited to be able to, you know, have that and be able to see that this year and just see it come to fruition.
Can you talk about Alex Van Pelt and what he's meant as far as the development and things he's asking you to do?
Yeah, he's been awesome. Obviously, he's played in the league for a long time. He's been coaching in the league for a long time, been around a lot of great quarterbacks. So it's awesome to be able to have him in our room, you know, coaching us up, you know, and just giving us that confidence that we need to go out there to play at a high level.
Everybody saw the pass to Zachariah Branch. I know one of those guys you got to be itching to maybe get the football to. How do you like what he's doing out there?
Oh, man, it's awesome, man. It's exciting to see how explosive he is, you know, the things that he could do with the ball in his hand, you know, the things that he could do with his route running. It's awesome to see, and I can't wait to see it this year.
Michael, what about when you talk about the playbook, obviously, has it changed a lot? Is it very similar to what we were doing over the last couple of seasons? How do you feel?
Yeah, it changed a decent amount. You know, it's some carryover, but it is a lot of change as well. But at the same time, you know, it's that comes with it. That comes with this sport. You know, you've seen a lot of coaching changes throughout the whole league this past year. So, you know, it's a lot of people going through it, you know, but it's all about the work that you put in, the amount of studying that you put in, so that whenever, you know, your time do come out on the field, you have a good understanding, a good grasp of the offense. So,
you feel it's better suited to what you do?
Man, I feel like it's definitely been amazing. You know, I feel like I really love this offense. You know, just the versatility, you know, the way that we're getting the ball in all our playmakers' hands. You know, it's definitely awesome, and I can't wait to see what it's going to look like, you know, come live game action.
We'd be remiss if we didn't ask you about Jalen Walker yesterday. Mm-hmm. Kind of took the air out of the sails at practice. Mm-hmm. And obviously a guy that was expecting to do big things in year two. Mm-hmm. You've been through it. Talk about what that injury means for the team, but more importantly, the person Jalen Walker is.
Yeah, man, it hurts. It hurts for this team. You know, we hurt for him, but at the same time, you know, we're all going to be there for him. We're all going to rally around him and, you know, be there for him while he's going through this rehab process. And, you know, him as a person, you know, just the person that he is, the positive energy that he brings, the toughness that he has. You know, I know this is going to be nothing for him. You know, he's going to get through this, and he's going to come back even stronger. And, you know, we're just all praying for him. We're all rallying around him and just giving him that love that he needs in this time. And but he'll be okay.
Man, we can't wait to see you out there. I mean, it's one of those conversations we've had all offseason. And you and Tua, what is Tua saying to you? What's the relationship like with Tua in this? It's not a true competition yet, but how's the relationship with Tua?
Yeah, man, it's been great. Tua's been great since he got here. You know, we got a great relationship. A lot of jokes being said throughout the quarterback room.
You're
feel like
together, right?
Yeah. So I feel like everybody is getting comfortable around each other in the room. So it's been awesome to be able to have, you know, a quarterback room that, you know, looks to see each other's success. You know, it's not about themselves. It's not about just me. You know, it's about this team. You know, whenever you have that, that's when it's going to be good.
You got seven back, man. How's that feel?
It feels awesome, man. Yeah, it feels awesome.
I saw you guys working a little extra, doing some extra stuff. Is that just timing kind of deal, handoffs and getting in a rhythm?
Yeah, I mean, that's just getting the reps. You know, obviously he didn't practice the first couple practices, so just him getting the reps, and me as well, the reps that I miss, you know, in the team period. So, you know, just us getting those extra reps so that we can stay sharp as far as mentally and, you know, physically. Whenever I do get back, and whenever he's back into the rotation the same way that he normally is in practice, you know, we're on the right pace.
Michael Penix Jr. with us. He looked great at practice, as we said, but there's still some time to go. The mental reps, the film study, is that all part of it too?
Yeah, that's all. That's the main thing right now, you know, especially not being able to be out there in 11-on-11, the team stuff. You know, it's all about the mental reps. It's all about, you know, just thinking about what you're going to do if you were in that situation. So that's what I've been doing a lot of.
So at no point during the offseason did you want to post a video of you pulling a truck going, I'm fine, look at me, I'm okay, because I was waiting for that, but it didn't happen.
Nah, there's no need for that. Whenever that time comes, it'll come and everybody will know.
Michael Penix, appreciate you, man. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
There's our boy, and a lot of guys hit us up on the text line as the interview was replaying for you. A lot of guys saying, you know, does he sound like his confidence is not just there, or is he just keeping it 100% real? And he knows there's a timeline, and he's not going to try to sell beyond, you know, what he knows he's not going to be able to do until he can do it. I don't know. I don't want to sound like we're pooping on it, because he's in a tough spot, you know, having to deal with this. But do you want him to say, like, it's my job?
Yes.
Two is just holding my place.
Yes.
Now, that might get some headlines. It doesn't mean the end of the world. But do you want to hear a little more juice?
Well, look, you don't have to be negative about the guy you're competing against. I mean, you just don't. But I can tell you how I feel and what my confidence level is and where I think I'm going to be and still keep it above board. That's what I'm wanting.
Right.
That's what I want. I don't need him to kill Tua in the process. I just need him to say, you know what, I can't wait to show y'all once I get a chance to get back out there and just exude that confidence. Maybe that will come. But you're right, he is in a tough place because – this entire summer has been wait, 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 wait. You get to camp. Wait, wait, wait.
Right.
Dude.
Yeah, I mean, like we said, only time will tell. Just knowing that Tua is going to have the opportunity to win this job, because you can't do anything until maybe, you know, the next 3 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then if he gets the job, he'd have to lose it for you to get back on the field this season.
So, look, I will say this, and I said it in the interview. He looks good. He's throwing the ball well. If you asked me and you didn't know we were coming from Mars and you said, hey, this guy plays quarterback, and you would not know he's not healthy. All right.
Right on.
We got more to get to, including Grant McCauley to join us, guys. Braves got back to work after the All-Star – or not the All-Star break, but the trade deadline. What does it mean for a guy like Grant Holmes to have the kind of start he did? And can Bryce Elder do that tonight? Grant joins us next.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole-body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk Braves baseball with Grant McCauley, the best baseball guy in town, guys. And Grant, back to work last night. The good news is, look, Grant Holmes looked the part. I mean, man, what an outing for him. I mean, Walt Weiss was talking about it after the game last night. So my thing is consistency, and that's what I'm going to start with you. Can we see this consistently through the rest of the season for a guy like Grant Holmes showing the potential that he has on the mound?
Yeah, you'd love to see that, and it would go a long way for the Braves. And it's one of those things, and I asked Walt about this a little while ago as we talked to him today. You know, you get to the trade deadline, and you have the opportunity to bring guys in. But when you don't swing trades, it also creates some opportunity for guys who are already in-house to maybe step in and step up and do exactly what you're saying. And Grant Holmes answered that call last night. I think overall, I mean, this season has just been kind of a mixed bag for him, particularly second time through the lineup. But it's not like he's incapable of throwing some quality innings for this team. And I really like the way that he mixed his pitches a lot more yesterday. I think we saw more curveballs. We saw more changeups. And he held that slider kind of in reserve, even though that's the pitch that's gotten him the most swing and miss this year. I thought that was kind of fascinating. And maybe that's kind of part of the, I'll call it the strategy in between starts to make those adjustments. Maybe it was game plan, particularly for the Marlins lineup. Could be a little bit of that. But I'll say this. After Grant Holmes' last start, when he was pulled with two outs in the fifth inning, we went to his locker, we talked to him a little bit, and he was feeling some kind of way about not being able to finish that inning and about not having, I guess, maybe the opportunity to have a longer leash. So outings like we saw yesterday, those are the kind of things that can earn him those chances and those opportunities, because we can all pretty much stop talking about, well, if the Braves go trade for two starters, maybe Grant Holmes moves to the bullpen. I don't think that's happening anytime soon. And something like that last night, to bring a long story to a point, is something that the Braves needed to see and a great thing for Grant Holmes.
Yeah, I said to Carl earlier, perhaps an angry Grant Holmes is a better Grant Holmes.
I mean, it's like sometimes all this emotion,
no,
right?
It's, I joked around with Carl. Grant, it's like, wait a minute. They're saying we don't have the quality starters. I'm a starter. They're talking about me. You know?
That's true.
And so that went down. Austin Riley with his first jack since, what, July 19th? And the other thing last night, Grant, I don't remember the last time I saw a team try to pull off a double steal in the game.
I don't think I've ever seen somebody pull off a double steal and get thrown out to end a game. That was just thank you very much. That, to your point, I mean, they had Rysell on the ropes a little bit there. You're kind of wondering, all right, well, how's he going to wriggle out of this? Tying runs are on base, and you just give the game away basically by getting thrown out. So go to a baseball game. I'll always say this. You may see something that day that you've never seen before. And last night, you can put double steal caught stealing ends the game on my list.
Clayton McCullough, Carl, said, hold my beer.
Hold my beer. Grant, what have the new guys said? Suter, I saw that he spoke, and I'm just curious. All these guys are excited to be here, right?
Yeah, and a real dream opportunity for him, having grown up, you know, going to a World Series game back in 1995. I mean, this is a guy that has some deep-seated roots, and putting on the uniform for him is something of a dream. And you may hear that happen a lot, and because that's the effect of growing up at a time when the Braves were broadcast coast to coast, you know, for 20, 30 years, whatever it was, on Ted Turner, on the Superstation. So he's another one of those kids, the TBS kids, we'd like to call them. I talked with Lane Thomas a little bit today, and he said, this is the third time I've been traded on the deadline. I am excited about this one. I know the National League East really well. I'm pumped to come to Atlanta. He's a Tennessee guy, so he's in Braves country too, as the saying goes. So I think they got a couple of guys they like. I haven't gotten a chance to talk to Tyler Mahle yet, but I think that the Braves, and talking to Walt Weiss a little bit about that role and what he can do as a strike thrower and a guy with experience in the league, they're just looking for him to come in and do what he was doing the last 6 weeks in San Francisco, which was cover, you know, pitching into the sixth, maybe the seventh inning for him, and help them cover the deficit of innings that this rotation's been facing really since the start of June.
It's our man Grant McCauley, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. We're live at Hooters Mall of Georgia. Grant, how do you? I mean, I know I ask you almost every day about this. How do you handle this Kim situation? I mean, it just seems like, you know, Dubon. And is there any bit of a disconnect between Alex Anthopoulos and Walt Weiss in the fact that you know he maintains that Dubon's going to be sort of like the super sub, but Jimmy Baseball's not coming off the field.
Right, and this is Walt's call, right? I mean, can you get input? Can you get reports? Can you get information to help make your decisions? Yes, but I have never experienced or seen Alex Anthopoulos, you know, be one of those guys that's like, all right, well, send me your lineup for my final confirmation today. I mean, Walt is the manager of the club, so when he makes these decisions, I feel like this is his call, and that's really, you know, all you can ask for is putting the team in the best position to win, and you can't argue that Jim Jarvis hasn't done that. You know, it may not have been what everybody saw coming out of spring training as the plan, but as it's evolved, he's been a contributor to this team for the better part of, what, six or more weeks now. And we know what Mauricio Dubon has done when he's had the opportunity to get some run at shortstop. So with all due respect to the Kim situation, I feel like you work him in where you can, but it's not going to completely change your plans to take not one but two useful players off the field to try to find out if Ha-Seong Kim can do that. It may just be one of those fluid situations where he finds his way in and maybe he starts to find his way and maybe he becomes the hot hand, but I don't think anything's going to be handed to him because at this point, as I talked about when we were kind of wondering, like, what is the decision-making process here, the money's pretty much already been spent. So yep. If he can help you, let him help you. If he can't help you, moving on at this point, not as painful as it would have been, say, having to make that decision in the first week of April.
What's this say about Walt Weiss? Because I brought this up, Grant, and I think it for me, you know, Alex provides the players, right? And I'm going to give you the ammunition you need to go do what you need to do.
Yep.
But it also says a lot about Walt Weiss and his position as the manager to say, I'm going to put the best nine guys out there every night, regardless of what guys are getting paid. Sometimes that can be hard in the major leagues, right? Because of the commitment that you've made. But he's not let that affect his day-to-day lineup.
No, I don't think he has, but I'll also say this, you know, like those contracts and that payroll, obviously it's going to dictate how things may start, but it doesn't dictate, to your point, how it's going to be every single day or by the time you've gotten through the whole 162. It's a fluid situation, and it will buy you a lot of opportunities, no pun intended, to be on a big contract, whether it's a one-year deal or a 10-year deal. You know, you're going to get some opportunity, but if you're not healthy, if you're not effective, if both of those things happen, it kind of all bets are off. You know, it just all goes out the window. And that's really where I think Ha-Seong Kim, you know, finds himself, unfortunately. It's not like he wants to have gone through the things he went through this year. This was a guy that last year looked like he was going to be a useful player. And when the Braves brought him back, I thought that was a move that would make the team better. And it just unfortunately hasn't lined up that way. But some other things have. Mauricio Dubon has exceeded all expectations I think he could have had, reasonable or otherwise, for him. And the same can be said, really, of Jim Jarvis, who kind of came out of nowhere to play a bigger role than anybody thought he would. So to get back to the Walt Weiss and Alex Anthopoulos dynamic, again, I think it comes down to Alex is trying to build a roster, and I know we're coming off a trade deadline where some things didn't happen that you wanted to see, but if you look at the 30,000-foot view, the Braves are still a very good baseball team. Yes, you would have liked to have seen some improvements, but there have been a lot of moves and a lot of decisions that have been made throughout the course of this year that have allowed the Braves to take a huge step forward in 2026 from where they were this time a year ago when everybody was wondering, why didn't you trade all your veterans away?
Look, man, if Malley can contribute and he helps, and there was some talk I saw on the internet about you kept him away from the Phillies. If that was their double intention, okay, so be it. Phillies, you know, are they going to get it on track? We'll see. The Dodgers have lost five in a row, you know, and the Brewers, I still don't trust them, Grant, even though they've won, they've stacked all these division titles, but they always seem to melt. So if you can say that everything the Braves do is going to be a glorified bullpen start outside of Chris Sale, is that really doable, though?
I don't think it's necessarily going to be that. I mean, could you look at the opportunity to use some openers? Sure. But, I mean, you've got some guys that are going to cover some bulk innings that will still be your starters. And, look, it's not the ideal situation. I don't think anybody's making the case that it is. I mean, they went after Jacob deGrom. That didn't work out, obviously. Is there, you know, a discussion to be had about maybe diversifying the pursuit and going after some other name? Sure. but it didn't happen. So at this point, it's not like the Braves don't have anybody to throw innings. If you look at them overall, you know, you could be in a lot worse situation, I'll put it that way. And the problem has been, and I talked about this on From the Diamond this week, is you get to the end of September, early October, who's going to be healthy and who's going to be pitching the best? And that, I think, is going to dominate the Braves' decisions beyond Chris Sale. You need a healthy Chris Sale. I don't know that that needs to be said out loud, but I'll go ahead and throw it out there because that's, you know, your number one guy and your horse. But can you cobble together everything else and utilize a really strong bullpen? I think that that can be a huge October weapon. We've seen it in the past. The travel days and the off days inside of the series make it so that you get to reset your bullpen a little bit better than 17 games in 17 days like the Braves came out of the All-Star break.
And just speaking of which, June was just a horror show for everybody. We had those three really bad outings in a row for Bryce Elder. The Braves have now won three of his last four starts, only two earned runs in his last 11 innings. So has Bryce Elder fixed the wobble?
Yeah, I think he's made some adjustments, but every start is another test and another opportunity to continue to stick with it, the dedication to your craft. And I do think that Bryce Elder has been dedicated to trying to work some things out, even if he doesn't get the results that he wants. And I know people are like, well, they're giving him the ball because they got nobody else. Yeah, maybe that's partially true, but I think he's earned a little bit of an opportunity to continue to pitch his way through the bad patches of the year, which a lot of guys are going to have. He's not the only one who's ended up in that kind of position before. But they need, quite frankly, to see Bryce Elder continue what he's done, Grant Holmes continue doing what he's doing. And I think, and I asked Alex about this as well, A.J. Smith-Shawver, 5 2/3 innings, 89 pitches, 2 runs yesterday in Gwinnett. I think he makes one more start in the minors, and barring anything else, he's going to be up here, and you're going to figure out where his innings go in the stretch drive. That could be important to you. And we'll see what happens with Spencer Schwellenbach a month from now. But this is a situation that could be manageable, but would have been a lot better if you were able to get that big playoff caliber arm that you were hoping to get if you were a Braves fan or if you were the Atlanta Braves at the trade deadline.
Good stuff, Grant. As always, we'll see what he does tonight. We'll be talking about it with you tomorrow on the show, my friend. Thank you again, man.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Braves back in action tonight. Let's keep it moving. Let's keep winning.
Right.
And look, the bigger the lead heading into September, this is a big month. August is always a big month. The bigger the lead, it's harder for the Phillies, and they'll be under all the pressure.
Look, and if Grant, you know, Holmes and certainly Bryce Elder are going deeper in games and you're taking less wear and tear on your bullpen, then this can work. Assuming Chris Sale just continues to be a rock star, which he's going to be because he's Chris Sale.
Yeah, I think so.
It's all the other guys. And Martin Perez on short rest the other night. You know, Ronaldo Lopez still a concern. That's why we, again, as you said, we're turning the page, but that's why we wanted that other arm.
Yeah, man. I mean, I hope it doesn't come back to bite us.
And maybe this Malley guy can bring something.
Let's hope so. Hey, man, we're coming back. Strong arm story of the day. Is it in-house or is it somewhere else? Is it in-house or is it somewhere else? It's Dukes and Bell.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole-body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Hey, gang, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and we are going to move. We are going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The real question is, do the Falcons go outside of the building to try to replace the production that they thought they were going to be able to get from Jalen Walker, who now is out for the season after tearing his ACL yesterday? It's Dukes and Bell. We're live at Hooters, guys. It was a part of the story, Mike, and I think it's going to continue to be until we figure out what this rotation on the edge may or may not be. And, guys, the players that we have in the building are capable, but I don't think it's one guy. And that's right. What's so unique about the skill set of a Jalen Walker. Today, Kirby was talking about Jalen when asked about him and said, yes, I spoke with him yesterday when this whole thing went down. I guarantee you he's got the best attitude. Jalen Walker is, not defined by football. He's defined by a lot of greater things. And this is right. Kirby talking about his former player saying he'll be a great asset for the community while he's out, and he'll be twice as good once he gets back because that's the kind of outlook that he has. He is one of the most positive people you ever want to be around, and that's great. I mean, that bodes well for his rehab.
Right.
But what about the production that we were leaning into? whether it is pressures, sacks, or Mike using him in coverage. I just don't know if there's one guy in the room that you go, yeah, he can step in and do that. And I think that's kind of the discussion right now.
Right. And just to double down on what you said about Jalen Walker, we were talking about it with some of the other guys out there on the sideline with the media. He's a guy that, you know, we first met him, we were both blown away by the poise and just how composed he is. And again, I mean, the absolute perfect embodiment of what Kirby wants to, you know, show as a representation of his program. And as you said it, hopefully he will make it on the football field, but he's still going to make it in a boardroom, wherever else he decides to do. But I'm with you. Do we have the production? Is it there? Do you have the guys that can step up? I mean, you've got guys on prove-it deals. If nothing else, these guys are all motivated. I mean, for instance, what do you think of Leonard Floyd last year? Because we basically added a bunch of Leonard Floyds. You know what I mean? That's basically what we added.
Yes, and look, there were times. Leonard's been doing it a long time. He was a pro. He was a professional, right? And part of the reason Rod and those guys brought him in is to teach a James Pierce Jr. and right. a Jalen Walker. So he fit his role. But if you're saying he's going to come back because he's familiar with the system – I don't know if that's the only reason you got to bring him back. I'm looking for production. And look, he was a part of all those sacks. There's no doubt. He didn't lead the way. But, Mike, I mean, if you're telling me he's going to come in here and get four sacks for you, there's got to be a guy currently on the roster who can do that.
Well, that's just it. And we've been using the phrase a lot today, moneyball. You know, the idea of the way the Braves moneyballed Ronald Acuna's production with Jock Peterson and Rosario and Soler.
Yes.
And they were able to get it done. Can you do that with a guy that – it would be pretty ironic that Braylon Trice, who couldn't get on the field the first 2 years, takes over for a guy that got injured and shows a way to – make an impression and really show out. You heard Samson Ebukam on with Andy and Randy. He's a loose dude, and he's just trying to get some more loot in this league. Azeez Ojulari, you know, we've talked about, you know, Channing Tindall we saw today. Everyone's going to get opportunities. And you know that Ulbrich's going to use a lot of guys in the rotation, but it's just the long answer to a short question, you can't replace what they were,
no.
what he did and what you were expecting him to be this year. Everyone took it to be just a – let's be honest. Oh, it's a done deal. Jalen Walker's going to be a Pro Bowl caliber guy this year.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I think you could have easily said, does he double his sack numbers? I would
right.
have said yes. He would have been a 9 or 10 sack guy. This is just me based on how Jeff Ulbrich was going to use him. And then, Mike, you know, the other thing is, again, with pressures and coverages, he's just so versatile. So that's off the table. They've got to figure that out. The other thing that, you know, got a lot of love today and a lot of pub is Bijan Robinson. And he spoke to the media for the first time since signing his deal. I want you to hear Kevin Stefanski talk about Bijan now that he's signed, being able to get back on the field.
Obviously, as a coach, you want to get your guys ready for the football season, and it allows us to get Bijan ready, and he's eager, beyond eager, to get out there. So we'll on that note, we'll slowly get him back in there. Won't be full go and just let him go. We'll have a plan here over the next, call it, week to ramp him up.
And he was not a full go. Today he was out there, but he wasn't
right.
taking all the reps. And even at the end of practice, we mentioned this to Michael Penix. Penix, along with the center and some additional folks to help out, just working on basic handoffs to Bijan. And you thought, well, they do this all the time. He hasn't been out there.
Got to get the reps, man. I like what I saw from Brian Robinson. I thought, you know, he was kind of trying to grit it out a little bit. He was banged up.
He had an issue with the shoulder.
Hopefully that's
– Yeah, that was weird, right?
I hope that's not something that keeps him out of practice moving forward. But he was out there even though he didn't seem to have an issue with the shoulder. Thanks, guys, for coming out. Also, Tyler Goodson. We were in front of the – all the running backs were hanging out. Bijan was dapping him up.
He was.
After a real physical run. That was kind of cool to see. And as we said, there was a lot of contact. There was it was a really feisty practice. Once, you know, coach brought everybody together, they really got after it.
Yeah, I as far as you saying, well, is Bijan going to play in the preseason? This is my thought, and I said this.
No,
you don't sign the guy to the biggest deal for
yes.
a running back and then play him in the preseason. That's dumb. So here's what Kevin Stefanski, our head coach, said about will he play this preseason.
Need to get through the next couple of days. I think it's important again that we do have a plan. Feel really good about that and ramping him up over the next few days. And then as we get into week one, I'll share with you guys what the plan is about who's playing, how much they're playing, those type of things. But don't have that just yet. Want to see how we get through
right.
the next few days.
Yeah, look, the next few days aren't going to change his mind, nor should it. And I'm fine with this. You know, these are smart decisions, guys. We got to get ready for Pittsburgh. That's it. So if Bijan doesn't play this preseason, and he shouldn't, we know what he can do, Mike. We know what Drake can do. I don't expect to see these guys. Now, the quarterback thing is a little different
because they're coming off of injuries and like, okay, so you want to see that, but I still don't think we're going to see Penix because he won't be ready.
Now, Tua has amped up. Now, Penix, like, he basically, hear the interview if you missed it, rewind on the Odyssey app. You know, we were waiting to hear Michael Penix saying, I'm going to be ready, and there was none of that. I mean, he's just kind of taking what the doctors have told him, and he's running with it. And if you were looking for him to say, yeah, man, I will be ready, unfortunately, by the time he will be ready, your pecking order is going to be Tua Tagovailoa and likely Cooper Rush.
Because you can't wait.
Yeah, there's no way. And now, here's the thing. If Tua really struggles, and why would he struggle in an offense that's kind of tailor-made for the ball to come out quickly on schedule?
Yeah.
Using tight ends. Kyle Pitts talking about how all the tight ends are going to get a chance to really shine in this offense. All of them. You know, that's everybody. Warner and Austin Hooper. Mm. I mean, it's kind of tailor-made for him. Zachariah Branch. Now, he did have a fumble today, and he was like, oh, he was killing himself over that. He's like, ah, losing his mind. But Zachariah Branch is such a stud.
Yeah.
And Day-Day was talking, the crisp route running. I mean, again, it's that UGA detail-oriented stuff. I can't wait to see him connecting with Tua. We saw Penix connect with him. Unfortunately, it wasn't, you know, the full live go with 11-on-11.
Yeah, I just love his approach. He is also very giddy and has a pep to his step, Mike.
Right.
Every day. Like, when you watch him, and I've been saying, like, the kid is open all the damn time. I'm not making this up. I know we got some good corners, you know, on this team. Certainly the safeties. And Jesse Bates was not playing today. As a matter of fact, we said it was a rest day. But, Mike, he's so shifty. And that's what's going to give teams a lot of problems. I know that Tommy Rees and Kevin Stefanski and even Alex Van Pelt, all these guys in the offensive room are like, you see what I see?
Yeah.
Because you put him in the slot, and, you know, it's almost like, okay, well, you're not putting a linebacker on this dude, so you're going to put a nickel back on him or a corner, and they're going to run stack and all kind of different things to free him up, and he's going to be open. It's just a matter if he catches the ball and turns a 10-yard gain into a 50-yard gain.
And then one of the last plays of the practice session today that was full 11-on-11, it was Tua Tagovailoa moving around in the pocket. And he hits Olamide Zaccheaus on a crossing route.
Yeah.
And he takes it what would be to the house. It was a game situation. The team was really feeding off it. Like, oh, the OG. And everybody was going nuts. But Olamide still got some he's got some gas left in the tank. And that was really cool to see today.
Yeah, man.
But that's the Stefanski offense. Yeah, I was after the catch. Let's go.
Well, look. And moving the chains, right? I mean, ultimately, that's what it's about.
But Drake also had a great catch, but it would have been a sack.
True, because he held on to it too long. Yeah.
Beautiful catch. It was a beautiful execution. Unfortunately, under real-time conditions, probably going
to
be a sack.
And a big shout-out to Avion, too. AV got a pick today.
Avion got a pick on Tua Tagovailoa. A couple guys have posted it, and that was cool. And the defense was going bananas on that. It's really cool to see the units coming together. And this was like, you know, I got to be honest, the first couple days, because of the NFL rules, practice, it's just not what we're used to. This was the first day that really felt like they were really into a rhythm. Ironically, unfortunately, after the letdown and huge disappointment of losing Jalen Walker.
Yeah, no doubt. Tomorrow's an off day, guys. We're back in studio. We're here at Hooters today. We'll be back here on Friday hanging out 2 to 6. So make sure you make plans to come out and hang out with us. Chris has got a full show tonight, by the way. Turtle? He does. All right. So stay tuned for that as he'll bring you all the latest, not only with the Braves, but also everything that's going on around the world of sports. Mike, the other thing that as we're just talking about the Falcons and, you know, where this is all going, I will say this, man. The move or non-move that they may or may not make, let's just not go out, and I want to say this because I know Falcon fans were so accustomed to just going, well, let's go get Von Miller. Well, let's go get if they're not going to add or be the fit that you need, you just don't do it. Right?
No.
And you don't do it.
And we've seen guys, like I said, we were excited, you know, last year about, you know, some of the veterans we brought in. The production was about where it is. You know, if Aaron Donald wants to come and play for
different
the Falcons.
Different story.
Who, by the way.
Different story.
Had a Rams helmet on at practice, and that means that they had to report he was there at practice. So he is listed, and it was Adam Schefter was all over that today. But I'm with you. I mean, that's where we're Leonard Floyd was okay. It was a bit of a disappointment, if we're honest, last year.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I didn't expect him to come have 12 sacks, but I think he was just one piece in this whole, you know, key.
But guys recognize the names like Von Miller, you know, which Bosa is free?
Joey. Joey, that's what I'm saying. Just adding guys because exactly. You go, oh, I know his name.
First, you got a couple more weeks to figure out what you got. And then also some guys that may try to claim off of another team after some cuts are made.
Yeah.
That's not ideal.
No, it's not because, you know, we'll see how it plays out. But that's something that is going to be up to the front office and Ian Cunningham. All right, man, we got to get out of here and clear our throat. Man, shows just flying by, aren't they?
Thanks to everybody who came out to Hooters Mall of Georgia, Georgia. And we'll be back Friday. Jerome actually made sense today. I'm very proud of him.
It's very rare, but there's a first time for everything.
First time Jerome made sense. It was very
first time for everything.
But basically saying, if Bijan's the best player, he should be the highest paid player.
Yeah.
I mean, that'd make all the sense, but we have explained about wide receivers get paid something and other guys get paid, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, it's a good point. All right, man. Thank you, guys. We're back here on Friday. Come through, and next week we'll be here as well. We'll tell you more about that. Tomorrow, though, we're back in studio, 2 o'clock. Make sure you join us. A bunch of guests that we'll have on, and we're chasing down some other things as well. Georgia back on the practice field. We're going to dive a little bit deeper into that as now college football is right around the corner. Speaking of Jerome, you notice he didn't want to bet whether or not Alabama would be in the SEC championship game. He's betting everybody else about the Falcons out here, but he ain't betting that.
He has no confidence in Kalen DeBoer.
Zero confidence.
Like everyone else in Tide Nation.
All right, man. Hey, Day-Day, great job executive producing. Our man Big O back at the studio. Thank you for keeping us on point. Commissioner Gordon, our on-site engineer, as always. And thanks to all of you for coming out. All right, Mike Bell, let's get out of here, man. Clear your throat.
Hey, man, Sports Business Journal says Tony Romo's CBS suspension may not be temporary.
What?
Per Sports Illustrated, network is using the situation to test a Jim Nance, J.J. Watt pairing. So the first couple of weeks of the NFL season, you're going to get J.J. Watt with Jim Nance. Now, if Romo's OWI hearing, which is set for September 21st, if he's cleared, not sure if they drop him to a second team or they'd invoke the morals clause to get out of the $17 million a year they owe him. I mean, when you're at the top of your game, you can get through something like this. But if you've lost a few steps or maybe, your fastball, this can come back to bite you. And that might be the case with CBS with Romo.
They owe him $70 million. I don't know if they're firing him.
Do you watch – here's the question. Do you watch it? But if the morals clause, they can void it. Do you watch football to hear Tony Romo or watch the two teams?
Well, I look, the broadcasters for me always enhance the game. That's their role. But I watch for the games.
Right.
I can watch a damn game on mute, okay?
Right. Look, I don't think Tom Brady's any good, but I still got to watch every week.
But, yeah, I watch because if they enhance the broadcast, great. So be it. We'll see what happens with Romo. Hey, quick note on Michael Penix Jr. Despite all the things that have been said, written, talked about, guys, he still believes he's going to be able to do what we drafted him to do. And I know there are a lot of people out there who feel like, you know what, I don't know if he's going to be able to overcome this. I don't know if he is or not either. Mm. What I do know, though, is he's putting in the work, and that's all he can do at this point. Until we get a chance to see him on the field, none of us can make a judgment. Hey, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
you bet Jerome chicken wings.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team. But not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
What you're listening to presumably doesn't suck, so neither should your sound system. Sonos lets you listen seamlessly from room to room. Same great sound, expertly tuned, astonishingly clear. It's not magic, but it's not not magic.